Hello, Lighthouse Church family. Pastor Joel here. Just wanted to say thank you for tuning into another of our sermon podcasts. Hope there's a word for you today. Now, let's jump into your weekly dose of godly teaching for you.
It may or may not be up on the screen, but just to give you a little context, the series title is Glory to God, and it comes from the verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 14, where there's an angel that is giving instruction about the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming. You'll find who is Christ the Lord. And this angel is speaking to the shepherds that are out in the living out in the fields and keeping their watch over their flock by night. And but he says they were greatly afraid, and he says, "Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring good tidings. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." How many of you are excited about the message of Jesus Christ? Yes. Man, what a message. So positive and is of hope for those that may be without hope. And I thank the Lord that there is, that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He literally came. And I thank God for that. And so there is hope within for us and within us as we just begin to exalt him. It says, you will find, or the angel says, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. That's the sign that would be to us and to them. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we went over a few things last week. I'll just touch on a few things. One of them is the definition of glory, this glory to God. And it means, it's a layered meaning, this thing of glory. It has layers to it. And first, there needs to be a view of something. And in this case, God, that we would view God, we would have opinion that is developed even in the view of God. And this this opinion, this estimation of the Lord God in our lives, that it would result in praise, honor, and glory. So it's hard just to go through the motions, and we can go through the motions of worshiping God, but that there would be a glorifying of God. Now, you might say, why are we focusing in on this? It says, in the next line, it says, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God wants for us to have peace, and he wants his goodwill done in our lives. And I'm not saying that we won't go through difficult times and situations, but God is saying, I want to be there with you through it all. And so we begin to recognize as we glorify God, it says he inhabits the praises of his people. And there's this aspect of majesty that is revealed to us and that we experience. And that majesty, even as we experience the majesty of Jesus Christ, is that there would be a continued glorifying of him, to give him all majesty in the sense, and this is by definition, of absolute perfection of deity, of who he is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so this aspect of who he is in perfection, hallelujah, a most glorious condition, a most exalted state as we lift him up. That's worship, to worship him, to glorify him. It's a choice that each one of us makes. You choose to worship the Lord personally. So you can't, the question that I was asked last week is, can you force worship? And true worship cannot be forced. In fact, hey, you know, somebody's holding a gun up against your head, worship me. That's not true worship. You may go through the motions of worship, but there's no truth to worship. God is a spirit. The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So it goes past just going through the motions. Praise God. This definition is an illustration when it comes to worship. The meaning is to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. The very first time I looked into the meaning of this years ago, it was like, oh, I get it. The devotion even of a dog to its master. All right. I want to go into this situation of worship. And in Daniel chapter 3, there is an idol that is erected. Can anybody remember how tall it was? Anybody? 60 cubits. Remember how big is a cubit? Yeah, so I see people pointing to their elbow, to their finger. This is one cubit, all right? So it's about 18 inches. So 60 cubits plus another 18 inches is a foot and a half. So that would be 60 plus another half of 60 is 30. So it was this image of gold, an image of gold. Can you imagine the cost to the king to erect this 90-foot image of gold? And it was 6 cubits in width. So 9 cubits in width. So I don't know if it's this way, if the width was this way, 9 feet, or if it was this way, 9 feet. But it was 6 cubits in width. And it's set up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And so King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to all the rulers, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the princes. This image was in dedication of this image, which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So they came, they gathered together, and he said, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So, last week we ended off more so with a question. And the question was, who or what do we bow down to? Each one of us has something or someone that we worship that has great value. In your opinion, according to the definition of glory, glory to God in the highest, is this valuation, evaluation, and evaluation of something that you hold in high regard and high esteem. It could be a person, might be a celebrity, might be somebody you know. They may not know you, but you hold them in very high esteem. It could be a loved one. It could be an object. It could be an item. It could even be the pursuit of something. You may not even have it, but you are pursuing it. And so there's a value that you're putting onto this thing that you're in pursuit of, and it becomes an idol to you. It becomes a worship or a thing to worship in your life. So the question is, who or what do you worship? In fact, you can worship yourself, where you are putting yourself in a position of, I am God. Or I am above all. Do you know anybody that made that had that thought? Satan. That's the thought Satan had, Lucifer had. Just the moment that he fell, that was the thought he had. He says, to be like God. Just a thought. And it caused him to fall. So, we have things that we will bow down to. Some of us may bow down to an activity, doing something, or the looking forward to something. It's interesting that it talks about three things that choke out fruitfulness in our life. Does anybody know what's one of those things might be? It chokes out in the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed fell on hard ground, on stony ground, on thorny ground where there was a choking out, and on good ground or good soil. Four different states of the heart. And the thing about the thorny ground is those are things that we've allowed in our lives that need to be removed. There's three things mentioned. The first thing is the cares of this life. We're caught up with the cares of this life, the weights, the burdens, and not to say that we shouldn't take care of things, but the cares of our life just totally block out even the view of God in our lives. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for God. I got stuff that I need to get done. Or there's stuff that's weighing on me, the cares of life. Can somebody tell me what a care of life might be? Health and family. Yeah. In fact, just before I came, there was a few individuals that had texted me. I said, we're going to pray for you tonight. And two of them were health related. The third one was sin related, where the individual, by his friend, this friend was saying, hey, can you pray for this particular individual because they believe that they have sinned, and because of the sin, that God will not forgive them. So I didn't even have a chance. It was just before I came, so I didn't even have a chance to say, hey, listen, you know what? There is no sin while we're still breathing that God will not forgive, except there is one, and that would be the rejection of Jesus Christ. I don't need Jesus in my life. But all the other sins, and this is the sin against, really is the sin against the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that draws a person to God. And so this, other than that, even as you're being drawn by the Holy Spirit to the Lord will be able to forgive. Satan is a liar. But the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. Do you know that you might say, oh, the deceitfulness of riches, that's the rich people have that issue and that problem. Let me just say this. I would beg to differ that the poorest of the poor oftentimes have that issue. And what it is if I only had a little bit more money, then I'll be okay. Or if I had this and that, this, then I'll be okay. And so there's this deceitfulness of riches that choke out the fruitfulness in our lives. The fruit in our lives is a worship to God. The things that the Lord would do through us is a worship to God. The last thing is the desire for pleasure. And so oftentimes, we plan our lives, we're looking forward to something coming up. How many of you are you know, you look forward to this time of Christmas or whatever, and whatever it may be about Christmas, they say, hey, yeah, we remember the coming of the Lord. But whatever it may be, there's this aspect of, yeah, we're waiting for that thing to happen. We're looking forward to that happening. Will it, when it happens, when it arrives and it's over, it's like, okay, it's done. Oh, man, it wasn't what I expected. So these things, they choke out fruitfulness in our lives. To glorify the Lord. Because the second part of it has to do with peace on earth, goodwill towards men. As we begin to glorify the Lord, there is an aspect of peace that comes over us, and there is an aspect of goodwill, His will being accomplished in our lives when He is first. All right. I want you to turn to Daniel 3. You're already in Daniel 3. Let me just bring you to verse 8. And tonight I've entitled this second portion that started last week, Taking a Stand. Taking a Stand. There is a point in our lives, in your life, in my life, when we need to take a stand to submit to Jesus or to submit to something else. If we don't submit to Jesus, we are submitting to something else, whatever it may be. So we need to take a stand. And we have three individuals that took a stand to disobey the order of the king. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of a horn, of the horn, the flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, just to get into these names, Shadrach is the name that was given by the Babylonian. I believe it was even the king might have given them the name, but either way, their Shadrach, his Jewish name was Hananiah, which means God has favored. And Shadrach, they changed it to Shadrach, which means royal or great scribe. Mishael, who is what God is what his name means. God is favored, is first, and who is what God is, to be. You know, we sing that song, To Be Like Jesus. Remember that song? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Him, and through life's journey from earth to glory. All I ask is to be like Him, who is what God is, to be like Jesus. Mishael and Azariah is Abednego, is Jehovah has helped. Shadrach becomes royal, or the great scribe. Meshach, guest of the king, and Abednego is servant of Nebo. And so my thing was, well, who's Nebo? It's not Nemo. We're talking Nebo. And so servant of Nebo, basically, Nebo was a Babylonian god, and basically would be Lord of Lords. is Nebo. The Assyrians recognized him. The Chaldeans, it was a god of the Babylonians and was Lord of Lords. And so here, Abednego is servant of Nebo. And it's like Abednego is saying, I'm not bowing down. There's no way I'm bowing down. Regardless of what name you've given me, I'm not bowing down. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, and you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? So they were at a point of, okay, what are we going to do now? And there is perhaps a point in our lives, I know there's a point in our lives, where we make a choice. Am I going to serve God or not? Am I going to take a stand in my life? I'm going to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to bow because I... Or am I going to bow to some idol? I'm going to bow to some activity. I'm going to bow to some celebrity. I'm going to bow to whatever it may be. The thing that I value above all things, I'm going to bow to that thing? Or am I going to bow to God? Am I going to give myself to the Lord? So they had a choice to take a stand at this point. What are they going to do? What would you do in this situation? It's going to cost you your life. So this isn't a metaphor when it came to these three individuals. They are actual, literal people that lived about 2,500 plus years ago. This situation is real. It's taking place. It is happening. And I love the fact that we're not just talking about, you know, these fairy tales or these illustrations of that could be there. This is real. This is real. What are you going to do? You going to serve God? Who knows? There may be a point where it will be criminal to serve God. I mentioned Bill C-9. So I mentioned the fact that even speaking scriptures, which he would say, deem hate speech, I just say, the things that God says to us, it's not about hate speech, it's more about warning. It's a warning. Hey, where are you going to spend eternity? Who are you going to serve? What are you going to serve? Well, no, I'm going to serve myself, what my lust, the lustful aspects of my flesh. What am I going to serve? And here, these three young men give an answer. So it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I love the fact that it seems like their names are always together. We're going to stand together. Sometimes we may be totally alone in our situation. These three men answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Do you know who you serve? Do you know who God is? Do you know Or it's just, oh, it's just something I heard growing up. Or it's something that I, yeah, Jesus Christ. It's more of a name that is said in vain. Do you know who God is to you? And they're saying, you know what? We don't have to ponder this. We don't have to think about an answer. We're giving you an answer even now. We're not going to bow down to this gold image that you've set up. We don't serve your gods. We're not serving your gods, King. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Did you know that fire can get hotter? You can actually heat up the temperature of a flame. And so oftentimes when there's billows blowing air and oxygen right into the fire, the temperature can get hotter and hotter. And so this thing of the furnace being heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, it almost seems like this was something that the king was aware of and it was doing perhaps on a regular basis. Hey, whoever didn't bow down or didn't submit to King Nebuchadnezzar was tossed in the furnace. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even to throw them in the fire, they died. The men that were throwing them in died. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So there was no opportunity even to resist. I don't know if these guys would have resisted or if they were resisting. There's no indication that they were resisting. You want to tie us up? Tie us up. We're ready to go. We're going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. It's interesting in our day and age and in your lives, you've had to make decisions. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? We all make that decision. What are we going to serve? We all make that decision. I love what it says in Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength." To place your trust in the Lord, he will not disappoint. And these guys, even if God didn't come through for them in that moment, recognized the Lord will come through for us even in death, even when facing death. I mentioned this last time. The part of your brain that fears is also the same part of your brain that worships. You can't do both at the same time. Psalm 22, verse 3, Jesus, this is written 1,000 years before, is actually who Jesus or what Jesus is saying while he hung on the cross. "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. There's going to be a glorifying of you, Lord. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to exalt you." This evening we're talking about the Lord being holy. And a number of the songs we're singing again and again, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. That we, if we want to have peace, goodwill to men, that there would be a glorifying of Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord, I'm going to begin to praise you. As we begin to truly praise God, to praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to praise Jesus Christ in the worst of times, that you can face even death. You can face death, and he will keep us in perfect peace because our mind is stayed on him, because we would trust in him. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Praise God. Daniel 3:24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Wow. Here, the king is seeing the might of God. These guys are walking around. I don't know about you, if you've ever been sitting around a campfire, and you had just one small little spark or ember that floats up, comes down, lands on your head. It's like, oh my goodness, does that ever hurt? That hurts. And here these guys are walking around in the fire, and there's a fourth one with them. And the king immediately recognizes this fourth man is like the Son of God. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I find that interesting. It's almost like God may have revealed himself to Nebuchadnezzar before then, or recognizing, hey, this God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I've had a vision of this God, and now I see this God standing in the midst of the flame. And there is no harm being done. And I like what happens here is Nebuchadnezzar begins to praise God. Listen, it says, he went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Not even the smell of fire. You ever, after you finished sitting around the campfire, and you go to bed that night, you wake up in the morning, and you smell some of that clothing that where you're sitting, you can smell the campfire. I can remember my parents at their house where we were growing up. They had a fireplace. It was one of those, an older fireplace that originally didn't have any glass covering at the front or whatever. And so I'll tell you, that fire would just, it's almost like it sucked all the air out of the, or would take all the warm air and just blow it out the chimney for the most part. But there was this thing of smelling. You could smell the fire. You could smell the fire. Here, you couldn't smell anything. The smell of fire was not on them. God with us. As we begin to praise the Lord, he inhabits the praises of his people. God is with you as you give your life over to the Lord. It's a choice that each one of us makes. These guys made a choice. We're not going to bow down to this idol. That we wouldn't bow down to any idol or anything or any object, whatever. We would not bow down to it. But Lord, we're going to bow down to you. We're going to submit to your lordship. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means what? God with us. God with us. You'll name him Emmanuel. His name shall be Emmanuel, God with us, God with you, as we choose to bow down to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And it's spoken in Matthew 1:23. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Isaiah prophesied of it 700 years before Jesus came, that there would be a virgin who would have conceive and bear a son, his name being Emmanuel, or God with us. So our worship. In Daniel 3:28, there's a worship that starts to happen in Nebuchadnezzar's life and from his lips. Again, I truly believe that we will meet King Nebuchadnezzar. I believe that King Nebuchadnezzar gave his life to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because it says here in verse 28, Daniel 3:28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." There's no other God. Here he goes from making an idol 90 feet tall out of gold and demanding that worship would take place. And within a short period of time, he is saying, this God here is no God at all. We need to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I would ask you again, who do you worship? That there would be a saying about you. Yeah, no, Dave worships the same God. You worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same God. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God that is with you. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And there's a worship, that there would be a worship on our part. And in Daniel chapter 4, verse 1, continues on, "Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation." This is Nebuchadnezzar the king is making this statement. Peace on earth. Peace be multiplied to you, to all those that dwell on the earth. I just say, thank you, Lord. This worship that goes up. Hallelujah. Now, I know that things can change. In fact, even Nebuchadnezzar was tested. And this is the thing of a glorifying of self. We put self before God. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen 7 times, or 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws as he was out in the field for 7 years. Now, I like, if we would end the story there, it'd be like, man. I just want to say this. Sometimes we can start off good. We acknowledge God. Next thing we know, we're doing our own thing. We're going our own way. And we know that we're moving away. And sometimes there's extreme things that happen. Sometimes God even chastises us. But I thank God as we humble ourselves before the Lord that the Lord can restore us. And at the end of the time, this is verse 34, Daniel 4, 34. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. His mind was gone. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, his understanding coming back. And the first thing he does is he begins to praise, bless the Most High and praise him and honor him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down, even the mightiest of kings. Babylon was the superpower of that time. And King Nebuchadnezzar was the king over that super of that kingdom that he had. And here he is praising and extolling and honoring the King of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to close at this time. I just want to pray a prayer. And if there's anybody here tonight, maybe you started off good and you've wandered away. And it's time to come back, to give your life to the Lord completely. And I just want you to know tonight, you might say, what do I have to do? Maybe there's a confession of your sin that caused you to wander away. There's a confession of, Lord, I was in charge. Or, Lord, this is what my God was. I confess it. I just want you to know who Jesus Christ is. Because the things that would cause for us to be apart, to err, to move a little bit away, more and more and more away from God, it would be sin. That's what the definition of sin is, to miss the mark. Sin would cause us to go off the mark. And we, just a little bit at a time sometimes, or sometimes a lot at one time, and it's just like we go off. But the Lord is able to restore us. And even as we humble ourselves, Lord, forgive me, I've sinned against you. The consequences of our sin, which we should have, and it says in Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of our sin, the payment of our sin, even just one sin, is death. Separation, eternal separation from God. But it says in the same line, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So tonight, if you're here, maybe you say, man, I'm not in the right place. Lord, forgive me. You died for me. Thank you. be a part of my life. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. Just as Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, praised and extolled and honored the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. He does what is just. And those who walk in pride, he's able to bring down. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We humble ourselves before you. Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, be a part of my life. Be a part of our lives. Lord, I just thank you tonight for your goodness and your faithfulness. Lord, I just thank you for the song of the heavenly host. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men. Lord, your heart and your desire is even as we would glorify you, we would worship you, as we would extol you and honor you and give you all praise. Lord, you are there to bring peace into our lives. Lord, as you are first in our lives, Lord, tonight I just pray that there would be a making first in our lives, being first in our lives. And Lord, that you would be honored with who we are and who we are, the things that we do. Lord, that they would bring you honor. Lord, I just thank you that even as we slip, Lord, even as we may fall, Lord, you said if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord, even as we would confess. Today, tonight, if there might be a confession that goes up before you, Lord, I just pray you will bring about righteousness. We will be washed. We will be cleansed. We will be made righteous before you even as we confess our sin and we place our trust in you. Lord, I pray there will be a bending of our knees to you, Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Lamb of God slain for us. Lord, even as we bend our knee, Lord, even as we would invite you to be a part of our lives, Lord, you desire to be a part of our lives, even in the worst of times, even as the three were cast into the fiery furnace, Lord, you were there with them. You are with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord. You are Emmanuel, God with us, in the best of times and in the worst of times. Lord, we just give you praise and thanksgiving tonight. There would be a surrender to you. Lord, that we would give you, just as the angels did, they gave you glory, that we will bring you glory, we will give you glory in who we are. Not just a lip service, not just something that's coming from our mouth, but Lord, is from within us, from within our innermost being, from our heart. Lord, that there would be a glorifying of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that our daily walk would bring you praise. Lord, let our step, every step that we take, every word, every thought, every attitude, every intention, every motivation, Lord, let it be right before you and bring you praise. Man, we need your help, Lord. We need your help by your Spirit. Lord, by your Spirit that resides within us, as we invite you into our lives, Jesus, your Spirit resides within us and will lead us and guide us, that our lives can be a worship unto you. We thank you, Lord, for coming 2,000 years ago. We thank you, Lord, you came for one reason, to die on the cross for us, to take all our sins upon yourself on a cross 2,000 years ago so that we can have life. We just give you praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray peace into every heart. Lord, I pray let there be just a peace as their eyes are focused on you, our minds are stayed on you, Lord. I pray that your will would be accomplished in every person's life here tonight and those that would hear. And Lord, beyond those that don't know yet, Lord, I pray that they will come to know you even by our declaration of who you are, by our praise and worship of who you are, that they would know you as you are lifted up in our lives, and that you'd love even the worst sinner. We just thank you for that. You love them and you desire to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And we thank you, Lord, for this. Let there be many, Lord, millions upon millions that come to know you. Lord, that I would even say billions. Lord, let there be billions come unto you yet before you return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Joel here. Thanks again for tuning into this sermon podcast. Just a reminder to come join us 10 a.m. Sundays, either in person or live streamed at lighthouseniagara.com. God bless and have a great day.